have a question for everybody that's here today. Are you awake, alert, alive, and enthusiastic? Amen. All right. Well, thank you for the three that said that and said amen. The rest of us, hopefully, we'll get to that point. My question is, where are you today? Where are you today? Now, some of you are going to think, preacher, I knew that you were close, but I think you finally lost your mind. Because here we are. Here, Bobby, did you say amen to that? Oh, goodness gracious. But I'm not talking about where are you physically, okay? Because I know that you're right here. I can see you if you're under the sound of my voice. Now, there's some listening by live stream most likely or by phone. But I see you, so I know where you are physically. So I'm not talking about where you are physically. That one's pretty easy to discern, right? You even have apps today that if you have a family member that has a phone, you can track them. You know, there's Find My Phone is what it is. And, you know, that's good for parents to be able to keep track of where their kids might be. So it's not too easy to discern where someone is physically. But I'm talking about where are you spiritually? Where are you in your walk with God? And basically, I'm not asking where were you spiritually, like in the past. Or I'm not asking you where will you be spiritually. I'm asking where are you right now? Now, I'm really convinced that it's really hard for us to move forward. Always helps if I turn my mic on. It's really hard for us to move forward if we don't realize where we are. I mean, evaluate where we are spiritually, and if we're going to move forward, at least look at where we are and act accordingly, okay? So where are you today spiritually? Now, we're in the book of Philippians. We're going verse by verse through the book of Philippians. And one thing that amazes me about the book of Philippians is you have this guy, this Apostle Paul, in prison. And he's writing to a church. It's not a perfect church, but it is a church, the Philippian church, that he's the closest to personally. And he's not singing the blues. He's not even saying, you know, hey, everything's bad here, and I want everybody to be praying. I mean, it seems to me that Paul is preoccupied with this thought about where are you spiritually, and I want you to move forward. That sounds like an apostle, doesn't it? That sounds like a preacher, doesn't it? And it's not like sometimes preachers preach and people get upset, say, oh, you must have been preaching to me, preacher. I cannot remember one single solitary message that I preach to somebody. Because I'm preaching to a bunch of somebodies. Right? And if it hits the target, hits the nail on the head, hits your heart, steps on your toes or whatever, guess what? That's God. That's not the preacher. But really, I really believe if we have hopes of being all that God wants us to be, we need to figure out where are we spiritually. That's the title of the message today. Where are you today? We're only looking at a few verses. Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 to 19. Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 to 19. Angela, would you mind turning this mic off, please? Where are you today? Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Thank you. It says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Title of the message, Where Are You Today? Point number one, if you're taking notes, grow up and press on. Grow up and press on. That's found in verse 15. Notice for several verses here, he has used I, the pronoun I. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it changes to the pronoun us. Let us. Paul is saying, this is where my heart is, but this is where I'd like for your heart to be too. As he writes this, let us, therefore. Paul has told the church as he writes, you know, this one thing I do. You know what that one thing? Pressing on for Jesus. As part of that, forgetting the past, looking to the future, and saying, you know what? It's all about Jesus. I'm pressing. I'm moving on for the Lord. I'm not comfortable with where I am. I am moving forward. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now he says, that's what I'm doing. And he says, that's what I want you to do too also, Christians. And he uses this word, or this phrase, in verse 15, that is, let us therefore as many as be perfect. Now we know that we'll never reach perfection. He made that argument in chapter 3, in the verses like, say, 6 to 11. Somewhere in that frame of this same chapter, that we're not going to reach perfection. So what in the world is he talking about? You know what he's talking about? A lot of times when you see that word, almost exclusively, when you see that term perfect, it's talking about being complete or mature in the Lord. So he's saying, as many as be mature. He really assumes that all are not there. They're not mature. Wouldn't you say that? As many as? So he's saying, okay, there's some in the church that are mature, and there's some in the church that are not mature. You know, for instance, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice these verses. The immaturity and the maturity. Notice this, what it says about maturity. It says, and I, brethren, Paul writing to a different church, to the Corinthian church, and believe me, the Corinthian church was the most dysfunctional church in the New Testament. But he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, he's writing this to Christians. He's writing this to the church. He's not saying, well, the lost, now they're babes, they're immature. He's saying there's people in the Corinthian church who are spiritual babies. It says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. He's saying, you know what, Corinthian church, I've been giving you a lot of milk. A lot of milk. Well, what do you give a newborn baby? Milk, right? You don't give them a T-bone steak. But he says, as you are given more and more milk, you should grow so that you can start on the meat. But notice, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you, what, envyings and strife and divisions? He says, are you not carnal and walk as men? You see, Paul makes it very clear that we have some Christians who are mature and some Christians that are not mature. Some Christians that are on the meat of the Word and have seen how to apply. They have wisdom in their life. They not only understand the facts of the Bible, but they understand how to put it into practice. And then you have some that are not there. They're on the milk. They have not matured. Now, I believe that maturity is a choice. Maturity is a choice. Now, you can choose to stay right where you're at. Or you can choose, I'm going to draw closer to God. You see, God hasn't moved. And maturity is really like snuggling up close to the Lord. And saying, I'm going to take Him serious. I'm going to do what He wants me to do. I've told you this before, but my 1977 Plymouth Volare, sky blue with a white Landau top. I don't think they make those anymore, the Landau tops. But, you know, really, really nice, adequate car. Had a good engine in it, slant six. But I remember when Amy and I were first dating and we first met, it had a bench seat. No more of these captain's chairs. It had a bench seat. And you know where Amy sit? Smack dab close she could to me. Right, Amy? It's because I was such a man, right? And you want to, probably not. But she did want to sit right there. And like the husband and wife that was having the discussion, it's like, you know, the wife said, well, you know, you just don't act like you love me anymore. We don't sit as close as we used to in the car. And he looked at her and says, well, I haven't moved. The steering wheel's pretty much set, right? Now we have these, we drive minivans mainly, and it's not a bench seat, so you can't even, but I'm making the point is God hasn't moved. He's right there. If we're not maturing, if we're not drawing closer to God, it's our fault. Because we've chosen not to draw closer to Him. And you'll understand the expression, it tickles God to death whenever we want to draw closer to Him. But didn't the Bible say, draw nigh unto God and He'll draw nigh unto you? Hebrews chapter 5. Notice what it says in verses 12 to 14. Talking about maturity versus immaturity. It says, for the time ye ought to be teachers. He's writing to the Hebrew Christians. Paul was writing, I believe Paul, writing to the Hebrew Christians. And he's saying, for the time ye ought to be teachers. You ought to have matured to the point that you can be a teacher. Now let's put that in modern day vernacular, okay? There's a lot of people here that God has probably gifted to be a teacher. But you've laid back so much that you're not there yet because you've not matured in your walk with God. And he said that the same problem here. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. Can I add a little bit? And again, and again, and again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. The very elementary things that you should know by now, you have to be taught them again and again. And again, now in this scenario in Hebrews, where does the problem rest? Does it rest with God? No, it's kind of like you're not getting it. You're not maturing. You're not moving forward. It says, you ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, the word of God. For he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, mature in the Lord. Even those who by reason of use, notice this, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They've matured to the point that they can spot a skunk a mile off. Smell a skunk a mile off. Because they've matured in the Lord. Now, if I had to tell you one of the biggest problems in our modern day churches in America today, we have a lot of Christians who have not matured in their walk with God. And it's a choice. And we preachers up here, we beat on pulpits and we raise our voice and we do the hand motions and we look at God's word and try to explain it. It's all because we want you to mature. We want you to grow in the Lord. Paul wrote to the Galatian church. He's like, I can't believe that all the teachings you've had, you still don't get it. He told that to the Galatian church in my little loose paraphrase. And we as Christians, if we don't get it by now, guess where the problem rests? Now I'm talking to Christians. These passages are talking about Christians. Paul writing in Philippians is talking about Christians. Folks, we got to get serious about this maturity thing. I mean, you cannot look at someone's age and assume that they are mature in modern day America. Even though they say, I'm a Christian, I've been a Christian for X number of years, that does not mean maturity. The same problem that Paul had in his day is the same problem we have today in our churches. But you know what? I don't want to stand before Jesus someday and, you know, yep, I'm just a baby Christian, Jesus. I don't want to be assessed that way, do you? The point, number one, is grow up and press on. Because he goes on from there and he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be what? Thus minded. Be thus minded. In other words, if you've matured in the Lord, you ought to see what verses 12 to 14, the point that's being made. Paul is saying, you know, nothing else matters except my relationship with the Lord. Nothing else matters except for doing what he's called me to do. Nothing else matters. He even says the past doesn't matter. Forgetting those things which are behind. Pressing for what matters is pressing on for Jesus. And then he says, if you're mature, you get that. Isn't that what it says? It says, let us therefore as many as be perfect, mature, be thus minded, think this way. What? And he just said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on and says, and if in anything you be otherwise minded. In other words, if you're distracted by other things in life instead of the priority of pressing on for Jesus, it says, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now, what in the world is that talking about? God revealing even this unto you. What do you think he's talking about? Does every child of God have the Holy Spirit in their life? Every child of God. Let me say, if we gave the invitation today and someone here was lost and they came forward and prayed to receive Jesus as their Savior and asked the Lord to forgive them of their sins, at that very instant, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of them, right? So, if you're not mature, that Holy Spirit ought to be beating on something. Your heart, your innards, or something. It ought to be beating on something saying, guess what? You're not where you should be. You know, and I'll freely admit, I could be a lot further in my walk with God than I am now. So I'm not just like you. I'm saying me. I could be closer to the Lord. I've been a Christian, I think, what'd I say, like 51 years, something like that? You know, if I'd have been as faithful all 51 years and done exactly what God wanted me to do and read my Bible the way I should and prayed the way I should be closer and more mature in my walk with God. But there comes a point we need to recognize that and say, okay, I'm going to do better. Am I going to mature in my walk with God? And he says that if you're here today even, and I believe the same Holy Spirit indwells us, right? It says that God's going to reveal this to you. So the Holy Spirit is God himself. He's inside of you. And you say, well, preacher, I matured. I had a growth spurt there. When I was first saved, I was faithful. I was faithful to Sunday school and church in the morning, church at night. And went. I was there and I gave a testimony on Wednesday night and I had prayer concerns and I was faithful. I was reading my Bible. I was praying. I was telling people about Jesus. I was tithing and all that. And I had that growth spurt. But ever since then, That's your choice. God doesn't make us puppets. But I believe that God, even today through the Holy Spirit, is speaking to your heart. Even today. And saying, hey, I want your attention. Hey, I want you to mature in me. Hey, you can be so much more for me if you just get serious about serving God. I'm telling you, if everybody in church today would completely sell out to God, 100%, everybody that's just here today, we could turn Clarksburg upside down for Jesus. Seriously, we could. But so many people, we talked about it a little bit in Sunday school, it's like they're in neutral. It's like, you know, neutral's not going to get you much anywhere. In certain situations, it might get you in the ditch, actually, if you roll backwards. But guess what? We're in neutral and not in drive. We need to put it in drive and, as they say, put the pedal to the metal and say, I'm going to be all that God wants me to be. I want to mature and grow up in my walk with God. You know, so many Christians are it's like to the point, they don't know how to lead anybody to Jesus. I mean, if someone come up to them and said, I want to be saved, would you help me? And they're like, let me call my preacher. That's not an acceptable answer. I'd be glad to talk to them. Really, I'm not saying that. I'd be glad to. And if that's where you are and that happens, say, let you talk to my preacher. I'll be glad to talk. But we ought to be to the point in our maturity that we know how we're saved. And if we don't know it by memory, we at least have something in our Bible that's called the Romans Road on how to lead someone to Jesus. Y'all agree with that? And some people are still fiddle-farring around with the Bible. It's like, well, whenever I need it, I'll go to it, which means you don't go to it much. And it's collecting dust somewhere. Maybe you grab it off the shelf, bring it to church, but you don't read it during the week. Folks, it's time for us to wake up. Prayer? Oh, yeah, I pray whenever I need something. That's not quite good enough. We ought to be faithful in our relationship with God. God wants a relationship with us. And in our immaturity sometimes, we just let it slide. Some people are still, you've been Christians for years and you're still not tithing. It's time to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm going to be serious about Jesus. And this goes without saying. Church, is church a priority in your heart and life? I mean, I think, honestly, I believe a lot of people think they're punching a heavenly time clock. And I got to get at least one service in and I'm good. Folks, we're not good by one service. I mean, there's a reason. The services in our church are put out in such a way, and it's been that way for a long time in America. Sunday school is a great time to sit down. Our Sunday school attendance for a good while has been pretty pathetic. I mean, it's like terrible. And some of you know better. Some of you have been Christians for years and years and years, and you can't get up an hour earlier to come to Sunday school. Now, that's not maturity. That's not maturity. Because you come to Sunday school and you get a chance to interact with your teacher. If there's something you don't understand, say, I don't understand that. Can you explain that to me? And the teacher usually says, hey, what do you think this means? And we look at God's Word. We come to morning worship. We sing to the Lord. We typically have a choir singing. And we're preaching the Word. And we get the announcements out. We worship God, and it has a specific place. Then comes Sunday night. Not similar to Sunday morning, but it's a lot more laid back, believe me. And we have a good time together. We look at God's Word. We sing a little bit. We testify a little bit. And then come Wednesday night, another unique service. It's called Prayer Meeting and Bible Study. We definitely have testimonies during Wednesday night. We take prayer concerns and we pray. We look at God's Word. It's our main prayer service of the week. So every service has, and we have people, again, not only not reading their Bible, not praying, not telling others about Jesus, not tithing, but not coming to church. I mean, we preachers, we shake our head and scratch our head and say, why can't we see this? It's a matter of the will. But Paul says very clearly, we need to mature. For those that are perfect or thus minded, I want you to think this way. Put Jesus as the number one priority. You know, if we knew someone, or if we had our own child, and after that child was born, we fed the child the way we were supposed to. We started with milk and then milk and milk and milk. No growth. And then you'd be taking them to the doctor, wouldn't you? And you'd be saying, "Doctor, there is something wrong. This baby is not growing physically." And we'd be alarmed. But can I tell you, in our churches today, we're not alarmed at our own immaturity. And really, it's the same basic concept. You eat, you grow physically. You eat on the Word of God, you grow spiritually. Right? I looked this up. Some of you may know this anyway. But when a person gets older but does not grow, it's called GHD, growth hormone deficiency. Now, I'm sure there's probably other causes too, but it's called growth hormone deficiency. It says that there's this gland that does not produce enough growth hormone. Symptoms are a slow or flat growth rate. The treatment, are you ready for the treatment? The treatment is to administer a daily or weekly a synthetic human growth hormone, or what's called an IGF, an insulin-like growth hormone. Kind of interesting, isn't it? That if there's a problem growing physically, they inject you with a hormone. Can I say that if you're not growing spiritually, you need an injection of the Word of God. And you get that injection when you read the Word of God and when you pray to the Lord, right? When you come to church and sit under teachers and sit under preachers, we're injected with the Word of God. And if you want to mature, you're not going to mature aside or away from the Word of God. Today, some of you getting nervous because you're seeing what time it is and you think you're on point one. I'm going to stop at point one and finish probably tonight. Title the message, "Where Are You Today?" I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually, where are you in your growth for the Lord? It's not good enough to say, "Well, I used to be maturing. I used to be," and it's not even, "Well, someday I will." I'm convinced that the purpose of the message that God has for us today is for you and to me to make up our minds. You know what? I'm going to grow in the Lord. I'm going to be serious about pressing on for Jesus. Not just kind of dilly-dallying in there a little bit, but I'm going to get in there and be serious about it.